Thank you very much for the good intro. So yeah, again, I'm Dayo. I work at TikTok in the US, and I work on this project. So today I'm going to, this project is more closer to the application side, where like other talks are focused on like how you enable T in like VMs and all that. So it's more like a higher level application, how we're going to use configure computing in real world. So let me get started. So this is the overall contents. I'm going to start with why we need a private data analytics and why it is hard. And I'll talk about our project and also include some demo. So private data analytics. So why private data is so important? So everybody will agree that it was very good for value extraction, like personalized contents or, you know, training the recommendation model for like better recommendation and so on. But not many people talk about public interest, so I'm going to focus on the public interest case. So sharing private data, if you see, it's actually really, really important for public interest, especially in public health. You want to, some researchers want to use medical data. Personal medical data is very, very strictly protected, or personal health data collected by personal medical devices, or for public safety, even very, very strict private data like PII, like personal address or phone number, that can be used to identify some public safety issues, like if they're associated with crimes or illegal activities. Education, personal academic performance, like their scores or attendance, and their engagement information, or their combination with some public, private data like address can be used to find out some correlation between academic performance, between the academic performance and people's, like where they live or their background and so on, or civic engagement, personal beliefs or social activities, how this kind of personal beliefs if affects the social activities of personnel and so on. These are not the only examples. So to give a very concrete example, one of the research that was published in CCS last year is to understand illicit drug promotion by using cross-platform data. So the what research did was that they used they figured that there's a pattern in illicit drug promotion promoters. So how they do it is that they basically use the cross-platform referral traffic to draw people into their drug dealing promotion, but without getting detected by their moderation by using some, because it's very hard to detect this kind of cross-platform, because either YouTube or Instagram, they will have their own only their own data, and they have to determine based on their own data. But in this case, they were able to identify those kind of cases by, leveraging both data from different organizations. Another example is there's a very big initiative in the UK called HDR UK. What they're trying to build is a trusted research environment where, you know, they want to combine all the medical data from the health providers to allow public researchers to get insights from those data. And those are examples of the efforts to provide access to private data for public interest. But why is it hard? The first challenge, of course, the data privacy risk. There's a trust issue because a lot of entities might have conflict of interest each other, like YouTube and Instagram. They might not want to share their data to each other. Risk of abusing data or data fabrication. Even if you're claiming that you're a benign researcher, it is still possible that researcher, do some things with the private data that they have never promised to do, like tracking some private information of the data and so on. And there's another issue, which is different trust domain issue. So a lot of time data is processed in a different place from different place that is not owned or controlled by the data owner. This is especially true when you deal with the cross-domain, cross-organization data. And there's a big compliance issue. You know, apart from the security issues, you still have to, in addition to the security, you definitely need to protect the data. In addition to that, you have to keep all the privacy policies enforced, such as data retention or purpose limitation of the data. Providing the raw data might not legally allowed in some countries or in some areas. And also changing the geolocation of the data or form of the data could be also legally restricted and so on. The second challenge is that nowadays the data is distributed across multiple places. Even for a single organization, you can think of it. In the old days, the organization, if they own the data, they will have the data in their own servers they manage and control. But in these days, this is not true because they often delegate the data to the third-party data warehouse like Snowflake or Databricks, or maybe they can even store it in some cloud provider resources like buckets. And also the compute exists not only in the organization servers, but also in the cloud provider. Like they run the workload in the GCP or Azure and so on. So it raises the challenge about accountability and transparency. So when things went wrong, like let's say there's a data breach happen, who's gonna take the responsibility? It's very hard to determine like what caused the breach and who's gonna, you know, it's all about the accountability. And also it's very important to make it possible to verify, every single data transfer, every single processing of the data in the remote compute nodes. That's that's what we need. So we concluded that we may need a standard way that provides a strong privacy protection mechanism using various PETs, and also not only these mechanisms exist, we also need to enforce that technically. So terms and conditions to the researchers, outside researchers, not enough because, you know, it cannot prevent them from abusing the data or violating the privacy policies. And we also need to have accountability and transparency. So we need to be able to provide a tools to the data owners that they can confidently audit or verify what's happening with the data. And finally, the usability. With all these guarantees, you should not sacrifice the results. So some PET technologies sacrifice the accuracy of the results for the sake of the privacy, but this is not our, this was not our requirement when we designed the system. And in addition to that, we wanted it to be very, very easy to deploy and very, very easy to use, and also very easy to customize. So there are existing solutions already when we explore these problems. So one is the data clean room. So in the ad industry, they're already using this kind of framework called data clean room, where you basically define the policy on every single SQL statement to define who can access which table and who can query which kind of query and so on. And this it's operating in some third party that has no conflict of interest or anyone in the data, anyone who owns the data. The second option that we thought about was a differential privacy. So differential privacy actually pre-process the data or add a noise to the result of the aggregated SQL to limit the information leakage, theoretically limit the information leakage. The final option was trusted environment, or confidential computing. So we kind of assess the pros and cons of each of the techniques. So first of all, SQL policy-based data clean room although they provide a very good usability, they allow researchers, they allow users to query anything on the data, and they provide very high accuracy. They misses necessary feature to technically enforce the privacy policies. Also, they often misses the you know, privacy protection in general. Differential privacy, on the other hand, provided very well-defined technical guarantee on privacy, but it kind of sacrifices accuracy. So trusted execution environment, on the other hand, it not only provides technical enforcement and high accuracy, but also it can provide some transparency in terms of accountability that I mentioned before. One issue is that the usability of it, so I said it could be better. By that, I mean for this type of data analytics, we figure that trusted execution environment is very, very hard to use because of the way they analyze the data. They analyze data doesn't match with the model that trusted execution environment deals with the workloads. So let me talk a little bit about that later. But that's why we started this project Manatee. So to this end, we built the framework with the following goals. First, technical enforcement on the privacy policy via various PT technologies. And secondly, we want it to be usable. So we wanted to provide an interactive tool to utilize the data. And third, the accuracy, we should not sacrifice accuracy for the sake of the anything else. And then finally, the transparency and accountability. Oh, actually, last thing is the deployment. We wanted to make it easy to deploy into the cloud. So these are our design goals. So one of the observations that we saw is that the data analytics actually happens in two stages. One is programming stage, and the other is execution stage. And each of the stage has very, very different requirements. So in the programming stage, usually you only need a very small data set and very small amount of compute. You don't need like 1,000 GPUs or something. And it's better to be very interactive, because when you program, you usually try some code with your data and play with the data to get some initial insights before you want to do the full analysis. But because of that, it's very hard to control the data. Researchers or users, they can do anything with the data, and it's very hard to control. So it has a very high privacy risk. On the other hand, once they're done with the programming, they are actually able to run this in a very large batch on the larger data and compute. And it's only happened once after you program everything and you make sure that it works. You just have to run it once to get the final output, right? And this stage, actually, it's easier to control the data. And also, it has a lower privacy risk because of that. So the approach that we took is that, actually, why don't we separate the stages and focus on different problems in each of the stage? So for the protection of the execution stage, where you run this workload in large batch on actual data, we can use TEE. We can use the coefficient computing. And for the programming stage, we can use other PET technology that has different trade-offs. Like synthetic data is one of the examples. You can use differentially private synthetic data to mock the actual data, like has the same statistical characteristic, but has no risk of privacy leakage, for example. So that's the basic idea. And the benefit of this is that actually what you're doing is you're actually separating the data policy and code policy. So you can choose you can flexibly choose a data policy on the programming stage. You can either use LDP perturbation or sample data or DP synthetic data, whatever the data owner wants, to protect data privacy with the budget that they want, where they still can allow users to get the accurate result in the execution stage, and you can enforce the code policy on the execution stage, right? So we'll get accurate results on the execution stage because it will run on the full data set, which is securely enabled by confidential computing. And specifically why confidential computing is very useful here. So first is it provides transition of trust, making it work with various trust models. For example, cross-organization data providers, as an example, you don't have to, not all the data providers may trust each other. In this case, you can transition this execution to the cloud, and then cloud, who has no conflict of interest, and run the workloads there without needing to complicate the trust model. And integrity of execution, of course, is guaranteed by the remote attestation plus the trust execution environment. And also, one of the very interesting thing that we found is that the attestation report could be also used to prove that it was executed in a legislative environment. So why this is very useful in our use case is that the scientific research evaluation results often needs to be reproducible, but without having them reproduce the entire research, you can just provide a testing report and say that, okay, this is a script and this is the output provided by this script on a certain environment. And this could be just proof of the experiment and proof of the integrity of the evaluation, the research. This is the Manatee data and code pipeline. So we use the JupyterHub to provide a JupyterLab interface to user, and user can actually interact the API using the JupyterLab extension. And then the data is accessed through the data SDK, which will access different data at different stages. When the API submits the gets the job, it will schedule this container in an executor pod in a TE backend, and we made it flexible that such that you can choose a different TE backend, like depending on your needs. It's very easy to deploy this via the Terraform. It deploys in the Kubernetes cluster, either in GCP or in Minikube, and it will leverage some of the cloud resources if necessary. So here's the use case at TikTok. So at TikTok, we have the same exact problem because we have to provide the data to the public researchers to provide a transparency. And we have launched TikTok have launched a product called VCE based on this solution, and it was built on top of the open source. There are another potential use cases, obviously, we're exploring, and then I'm going to quickly show the tutorial demo. So the demo shows that we start from the insurance charge data set from Kaggle, and it's an open data set. And the task is we want to train a model that predicts insurance charge based on, based on the data. And then we use the differential private synthetic data in first stage. We provision that. Let me show the video. So in the JupyterLab interface, you can create a notebook. And then you initialize the environment. And actually, you can import the data SDK and initialize the data SDK. And with the data SDK, you can access the stage one data, the raw data. And then you can actually explore the synthetic data by printing out some correlationship heat map and also other things. And then once you're ready, you can submit this job to the second stage, and then it will go to the API, and you can see that the image is building. So we'll build the backend. Will build the image, the container image, and once the image built, it will schedule it to the container. The T backend. The T backend we're using here is the configuration space. So you can see Once the VM finishes, you can download the output, and then the output, in the output, you can see the results from the real data. So here, the output privacy is not guaranteed, but you can add additional step in between the download output to make sure that nothing, you know, nothing private goes out from the output. This is about the code policy. And let me skip this part. So, sorry, the later part will do the XGBoost to train the model, and then the testing report. You can download the testing report and show see you know, this is the testing report from the Google Config space, and you can actually verify the signature as well as comparing the output hash that is in the testing report to you know, prove that this output was indeed generated by this script with the certain hash in the legitimate Google confidential space environment with the SDV enabled. So yeah, that's pretty much it. So the project, I only have 1 minute. So yeah. Actually, you can try this out. We're fully open source. You can locally deploy the Minikube and also try out, although the Minikube version doesn't really use a TE, you can still try the interface. And you can actually follow the tutorial to reproduce all as shown here in the GCP. If you have a GCP account, you can try that. And we're collaborating with Google on this project, and please join us for more collaboration. Yeah, that's much it.
So we can move in and out, but we can have some quick QA, but maybe speak up a little bit so we can hear you while people move in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, I'm wondering, in a TE, you have to run constant time code, or essentially code that of which the branching pattern cannot depend on the data that you're processing. Otherwise, you leak that data via cycle, for example, timing attack. And it seems that you are running here just like the Python functions as is, but they are not constant time. So how do you prevent cycles or leakage of the sensitive data?
Okay, so to repeat, the question was, it seems that we're not protecting against the side channel because if the execution time is not constant, it's may be susceptible to timing channel attacks, right? Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a separate topic, separate issue that can be addressed by some additional techniques. But what we're trying to solve here is not the side channel or the TE. The scope of T itself. What we're doing is that we're building, you know, this general data private data analytics platform using the existing T. That's what we're focused on in this work. But of course, I think that if the workload is very susceptible to timing channel or any other side channel attacks, I think it should be addressed case by case.
Uh-huh. How can like researchers be sure that, because you don't give them the data, you just give them the output and the statistics, so how can they be sure that it's actually accurate?
Oh, you mean this stage ones?
Yeah, is it like they actually run the...
Oh, you mean the, how do you, the question...
Like my question is how can, what kind of the difference between with the TE and just giving them data? How can they still have good insights despite not having the raw data and maybe like needing to trust you that you will actually give the correct output? If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the question is what is the difference between just giving the data to the researchers and, you know, doing this approach?
Yeah, I mean, how can researchers be sure that?
Sure that they're getting the correct insight from ourselves. So I think in the second stage, you will get the full, you know, output using the real data, so you'll get the insight. The problem is the first programming stage where you basically sacrifice some accuracy using some data protection techniques, right? And I think our argument is that you can run this job like multiple times before you actually produce the final result.
So it's like the researcher can run like whatever code they want.
Yeah, yeah.
On the data, and then they will get the output.
Yeah, yeah. That's the model. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Run out of time. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, we can talk offline.